become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that silently spreads, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street,
from Patriot and Freedom Fighters. Welcome to National Intel Report, live on Republic Broadcasting Network, Liberty Lighthouse on Mojo 50 Radio, Patriot Nation Radio Network, and any place else you hear or see the show. I'm broadcasting from my home studio in downtown Bellefonte, Pennsylvania. I am your host for this 2 hours of common sense and constitutional discussion. I'm Peter Seraphine. And yes, I'm back. I took a week off, and I went to Minnesota for my eldest son's wedding. A little story to tell about that. But first, I got to tell you, we've got a good show, a busy, fun, exciting show planned for you this evening. At the bottom of this first hour, so 6:30 Eastern time, if you're watching or listening live, we got Colonel Mike Ford, from managing editor of American Free News Network, going to join the show. And then at the top of the second hour, so 7 p.m. Eastern, if you are watching or listening live, I got Daryl Becker from Content Safe. That's contentsafe.co, going to join us. And Content Safe, you know, it's a pretty interesting idea that, helps creators, internet content creators like me. So going to be excited to talk to him. Now, while I was gone, like I said, I traveled to Minnesota, and one habit that I have is anytime I've got a miserable story to tell about anything, I always try to find a good story to share as well, especially if it's related to customer service. Yeah, working in the customer service industry for a really long time, I learned that the average person will tell 5-6 people if they have a bad experience, but they'll only tell 1 or 2 people about a good experience. So anytime I have a good experience, I want to share it. Now, this isn't exactly politics related, but it is political adjacent. And I really want to hear what you think about that adjacent part, that political tie-in. So get ready, get your dial-in finger ready. The phone line is 512-248-8252. And if you don't want to actually call and be on the radio, you can always text me at 64 My Rights. That's 646-974-4487. So here's what happened. So I leave for Minnesota for my eldest son's wedding. And those of you who don't know me personally, I rarely leave my house without a hat. And I don't mean a ball cap. I hate ball caps. I mean a hat, you know, something with a brim that goes all the way around, a fedora, a pork pie, something like that. So I'm packing for this trip, knowing that I'm going to go to a wedding, and I'm going to be in a tuxedo. I'm packing for this trip, and I'm thinking, well, I want a hat that will work both in the tuxedo and when I'm not in the tuxedo. I'll deal with that later, is my thought as I'm packing. And then, you know, as often does, time catches up with you. And I left. I left the house without a hat. And I get to Minnesota, and I'm thinking, I need a hat. And I really want a hat that goes with a tux, a black hat. Well, while I'm in Minnesota, I noticed that there's a haberdashery in Minneapolis where I'm staying. Actually, I stayed in St. Paul. The haberdashery was in Minneapolis. So there's this haberdashery. I've never been to a haberdashery. I've heard of them. I think it's a cool thing. For those of you that don't know, a haberdashery is traditionally a men's accessory store. So things like ties and vests and cufflinks. hats, shoes, men's accessories. So I think, hey, I want to go to this haberdashery. So Friday, the wife and I are out and about. We're looking for a chocolatier for her because she likes to get chocolate from a local chocolate maker anywhere we go. And we stop at the haberdashery. Now, the level of service at this place is something that I haven't seen in forever. You all know, you've all seen it. Customer service is dead. I mean, how many times have you been in a store and you want help with something? You want help picking out something. You have a question about a product, whatever. And you've got to chase down somebody to ask the question. Happens to me quite frequently. So here we are at, I think it's called Hyman's in Minneapolis. I walk in the door, open the front door, enter, and there's a well-dressed man standing behind a counter who immediately greets us, and he's, "Welcome to Hyman's. What can we do for you today?" That's pretty nice. And I told him I'm there for a hat, that I have a formal event, and I need a hat. But as I was walking in, I noticed that they also had a barber. So I told him, "I think I want to visit the barber too." This gentleman says, "Well, why don't we do that first?" And rather than pointing across the room and say, "Well, the barber's right over there," he walked me over to the barber. And he said, "Do you have time for a walk-in? This gentleman would like a haircut." I didn't even have to speak to the barber. He did it for me. Okay. Barber had time to fit me in. And, it was a good old-fashioned barber who actually, like, you know, checked your eyebrows and hair coming out of your ears and your nose and all of the things that an old-fashioned barber would do, but a modern barber really doesn't. Again, customer service. And as barbers often do, you know, there's the small talk. We're talking, "What are you doing? You know, are you local? Why are you here?" And I told him that we were looking for a chocolatier for the wife, but we didn't really like the first one that we went to. And he said, "Oh, well, there's a candy store called Candyland right around the corner." And he explained, "Go out the door, turn left, go up there, turn left." And it was almost behind the haberdashery shop. So again, nice little touch, little local information. Trimmed my beard, did all the things that he's supposed to do. I pay him, and I turn to walk into back to the retail area. And I no sooner enter the retail area, and a third employee approaches me and immediately says, "I hear you're looking for a hat." Again, I didn't have to chase anybody down. The word had already been passed. They knew why I was there. They knew what I was looking for. Okay. So he helps me pick out a hat. We look at a few things. I end up buying a derby. I've never owned a derby. And I thought, well, that's appropriate for a wedding. If I'm not going to do a top hat, a derby. Top hat you really can only do at a wedding. And I've always wanted a derby. So I got a derby. I leave. I paid a pretty good sum for the hat. It's a good hat from a good hat company. I own lots of hats. I know a good hat from a bad hat. It's from a good hat company, and it was a little pricey. And I got to thinking, like, this level of service that I got at this one little job, how much did that cost me? How much extra was that? So I went on Amazon and I looked up that exact derby from that exact hat company to see how much more expensive it was in that haberdashery with that amazing customer service. And surprise, surprise, it's actually more expensive on Amazon than it was at the haberdashery. So this amazing customer service example really got me thinking about a few things. For one, why is customer service dying so badly when apparently there's not a premium cost for it? And number two, how does the downfall of customer service relate to the downfall of manners in society in general? Like, is one the cause of the other? Is one a symptom of the other? Are they simultaneous? I don't know the answer to that, and that's where I'm hoping you can help me out. So call in if your opinions. I'd love to talk about this with somebody. 512-248-8252 is the call-in line. And again, you can text 64-MY-RIGHTS, 646-974-4487. I was so impressed with the service that I received at this place. Probably because we don't get that service anymore anywhere. Think of the last time that you walked into any store anywhere and you were waited on and guided to where you needed to be and had somebody right there to help you the moment you needed help. I really can't remember the last time that's happened for me, except for last weekend. So I'm going to look up the company name just to make sure I have it right. I want to give them a plug. I think it's Hyman's, but I want to look it up. So anyway, I get back home. I go back to work. I told that story to a couple of people. And every time I told the story, I thought, well, how does this relate to society as a whole? And I don't have that answer. And that's where I'm hoping you can help me. Sorry. Silence. That's bad. I didn't mean to do that. I was typing. I can't type and talk at the same time. Apparently I try not to do that. It's Hymies. My bad. Hymies Haberdashery. If you're ever in Minneapolis and you're a man, I highly recommend checking it out. I was very, very impressed. So now what? I miss that. Now that place had been there since the 1920s, if I remember right. And I would assume that they had that same level of service that whole time. So why can one business stay open with that level of service, but so many others are closing? Deb Treadway over in the YouTube chat room said Walt Disney World a year ago, next week, had a great customer service. Disney World prides themselves on that. At least they did 15 years ago when I worked there. When I worked at Disney World, customer service was all what Disney was about. And they were proud of the fact that they spent a lot of money on training for their employees. And I mean, when I went, the orientation class, which was called Traditions, was like a week long. I mean, when was the last time you had a week-long orientation in any company? Normally, it day at the most. They were very customer service oriented, but based on what I see in the news, that's kind of going downhill. So good for you, Deb, for having that great customer service experience. I had another one. It was years ago in New York City. I was there for a special occasion. I went to, I'm a foodie. I spent most of my life in the restaurant industry, so I wanted to go to some of the famous restaurants. I went to Tavern on the Green, which is no longer there, and had a horrible experience. Waiter basically ignored us, but was hovering around another table of people that were apparently famous, rich, or influential in some way. Tavern on the Green had a no jackets in the dining room rule. No coats, I'm sorry. No coats in the dining room, so we had to take our coats and check them. And, well, this other table walked in. They all had coats, and they had wait staff just hovering around the table. It was a miserable experience for me. I'm sure it was fabulous for them. But the very next night, I went to the Four Seasons. And the Four Seasons was phenomenal. The waiter was on the ball. He was right there. He was, you know, inquisitive enough to find out why I was in the city, what I was celebrating and all of that. And not so nosy as to be annoying. And when he realized why I was there, he gave me a little gift bag that included the menu of the evening and some, I forget what else was in there, but it was a very nice little gesture. So again, I tell a bad story. I like to tell a good story because too many people share the bad ones, but not the good ones. So what makes one business be able to do that while another one, you know, starts putting in self-checkout lines, firing cashiers? What you think about that answer, and get your dialing fingers ready and call in to tell me your opinions about customer service as it relates to the downfall of society as a whole. I want to remind you that if you own a firearm, you need to have carry insurance. If you do not have firearms owner or carry insurance, you will probably, end up in jail or be sued if you have to use your firearm. And the best, the most affordable carry insurance on the market is Right to Bear Insurance. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com and save 10% off their already lowest price on the market. That's protectwithbear.com, code LIGHTHOUSE. Quince in Florida, line one, welcome to the show. Quince? I can't hear you, Quince. I don't know what happened. Oh, producer just said we lost him. Well, that sucks. Curtis over in the YouTube chat room says, the larger the store, the less humanity is in the training. That probably is true. Like anything else, as an organization grows, it loses that personal connection. And that personal connection probably does disappear from the training. And that personal connection is what customer service is all about. It's that, come to think of it, it really is that personal connection. It's what society is all about. We're losing that in a big way. You know, I live downtown in my little town. Granted, it's a small town. But I don't even know my neighbors. I mean, I know one or two of them. But I don't know all of them. And there was back in the day, it was, you knew all of your neighbors. I know some of them, but not all of them. Well, that's a problem. Let's see here. Miss Sarah Nichols says that I am not live on my Facebook page. Well, that's a bummer, but there's really not a whole lot I can do about it now. Thanks for letting me know, Sarah. Stream. Yep, says unable to connect. Look at that. Oh, well. If you normally watch on Facebook, you're either not watching or you're going to have to find someplace else to watch. And if you're looking for a place to watch, I recommend Twitch. Twitch.tv. I see your messages when you comment on the video, and they don't ever censor anything. At least they've never censored anything of mine. YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, they've all censored me. If you can't fix it, feature it. That's right. Don't hide anything. Can't stream to Facebook tonight for some reason. My Restream service could not connect to Facebook. That's just a bummer. Anyway, so the human connection, it's the human connection in our lives that makes us human. It's the basis of humanity. So the question is, if we bring back customer service, will it help to bring back humanity? Or won't it work that way? Do we have to do it the other way? Do we have to bring back humanity as a whole in order to get the customer service back? Yeah. I'd like to try. I think if you have fantastic customer service, you'll beat out your competition. You'll become the bigger business. Maybe that's how we start. You give great customer service, you become more popular than your competitors. Your competitors go, hey, what are they doing? Their product or service isn't any better than mine. Why are they doing so much better? We need to do what they're doing. So if you're a business owner out there and you don't have a real serious focus on genuine customer service, I want you to try it. Maybe you can be the first step in bringing humanity back to humanity. Church attendance is down all over the place. We don't know our neighbors. The Twitter world, the YouTube, the Twitter, the social media world has created a bunch of people that say whatever they want without even thinking about the feelings of others anymore, without consequences. It's all signs of the downfall of humanity. We need to take steps to bring it back. And the more I think about it, the more I have thought about it since telling that story of Jaime's haberdashery in Minneapolis. The more times I tell the story, the more I think maybe bringing customer service back to the retail and service industries might be a start. I'm surprised that nobody's called in to argue with me on that or agree with me one way or another. Really am surprised. Colonel Mike Ford from managing editor of American Free News Network will be joining us here in the other side of the break would be about 5 minutes. American Free News Network is where you can find my articles as well as the articles of a whole bunch of other people. They are always looking for content writers, people that write articles and submit to them. He publishes a lot of stuff, like many articles a day, and you can find mine there. Right now, I'm working on my next article. I don't have one set up for tomorrow. My next article, arguing that consumption-based taxes are the only taxes that are really fair. It's my idea. William in Texas on line one, you've got less than 2 minutes.
Hey, Peter, great show. I wanted to talk to you about your experience with good customer service. I think it's not only is it getting more rare, I think for that reason, it's just that much more needed. I really appreciated your comments about the haberdashery. I own my own business. It's mainly a seasonal, it's kind of part-time. It's seasonal, but I am the sole proprietor. And I think customer service is the edge that we can have, in this world against maybe like one of your listeners was saying, the huge box stores, the lack of humanity, the lack of just real personal touch, everything. So I think it's huge. I agree with everything you said.
Hey, I really appreciate that. And I think you're right. Thank you very much for your call, William. I think it's a good start. And it really wouldn't cost all that much. Bring back customer service. Be back in 3 minutes on the other side of this break. Hang on, Sarah.
One shot at a time. What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
HempPaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit HempPaste.com/RBN.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Peter Serafine. Please remember that free speech is not free, and support whatever free speech platform you're watching or listening to the show from. Buy the merchandise, use their promo code, share out their content wherever you can. I know that Sarah in Oregon shares out my stuff all the time, and I greatly appreciate that. And I also know that Sarah from Oregon is on line 3. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Please share out the show. And be happy. Always lead with friends. And customer service should come back. Bye!
Bye, Sarah. Always a preacher. Rich in Pennsylvania texts me. He says, customer service requires humility. Today's society doesn't seem to value that virtue very much, sadly. And that's true. I think there's a type of person that is required in order to provide real customer service, like genuine, caring, thoughtful customer service. And I don't know what that quality is. I don't know why some people are good at it or enjoy it and others don't. I enjoy providing good service. I always said if I lived back in the days, you know, of the class system, I would have strove, I'm not sure which, you know, I would have wanted to be a butler. I like serving others. Maybe that's because I like helping others in general.
I don't know. Is that weird that I actually enjoy helping other people? It doesn't seem to happen very often anymore. Like, I actually get a smile on my face when a friend says, hey, do you have jumper cables? Or, are you busy? I could use a pickup truck. I do. I actually get a smile. I like helping other people. And maybe that's why I was so successful in the hospitality industry. Treat others as you want to be treated when it comes to serving others. That's right, Deb. Let me tell you another story. A little. This is a customer service that I provided kind of story. So again, I was in the hospitality industry, food service, for a really long time. And, well, I was the food and beverage director of a small hotel that had a restaurant, a bar, and a banquet space. So I trained my wait staff that the moment somebody came into the restaurant and mentioned an allergy, a food allergy of any kind, that they should get me. Because, you know, I spent most of my life being of service, most of my life in the restaurant industry. So I kind of knew a little bit about that stuff. So lady comes in, my wait staff does as I had taught them, and they came and got me when the woman started saying, well, I can't have this or can't have that. So after about 30 seconds of talking to the lady, the customer, I realized that, well, she had celiac disease. Now this was, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, when not a whole lot of people knew what celiac disease was. But I did, because it's food related and it was part of my business. So she's telling me that she can't have this and that. And I said, oh, you have celiac disease. And she goes, oh, yeah. She was surprised that I knew what it was. I said, well, what do you want? And she says, well, I'd like a steak. We're a steakhouse. And I said, okay, what would you like with your steak? We normally serve the thing that she, no, it wasn't steak. It was ribs. Because we serve the ribs with French fries. And I said, it normally comes with French fries. Is that okay? And she says, I can't have French fries. I said, well, of course you can have French fries. She goes, well, I can't have them. They're fried in the same fryer as, you know, breaded products. I'm like, yeah, generally. But if I know you can't have that, I will fry them separately in a pot on a stove. It's not that big a deal. And this lady almost cried. She was so happy that we were willing to deep fry some French fries for her in a pot. She said she hadn't had French fries in a restaurant in years. And in my particular restaurant, we cut our own French fries. They were fresh cut and fried in-house. So yeah, I could make her French fries. Don't use the same fryer that we fry the chicken and the shrimp and everything else in. And she was thrilled. She became a very regular customer. Yeah. Misty in Kansas on line one. Welcome to the show, Misty.
Hi. Hope you had a good wedding. You know what I think it is, really? I think a lot of it has to do with the way you're raised. You know, I mean, I was raised 60s, you know, my parents, the manners, you had to, you know, all the manners, yes, sir, no, ma'am. Back then, we didn't even call an adult by their first name. It was only like Miss Jones, mm-hmm. You know, you yeah. Didn't do that. And I raised my son the same way, and he's in the server business, and when he first moved to Colorado, he called me one day and he said they were shocked that he would go up and address them as yes, ma'am, you know, sir. Even people, you know, peers that you can kind of feel them out. But, I mean, to this day, he loves being in the business. Excuse me, but I think that has a lot to do with it, the work ethic. I mean, I was taught strong work ethic. Same with my son, I did. The last week, no. It was about 4 months ago, my bad. And anyway, he had got a $500 tip. And, you know, of course they hold them now until it clears. But, you know, just because, yeah, you got to take care of the people. And that's how you make your money. So it a lot of it comes back on the person, you know?
Yeah.
Especially if you're working for tips.
Yeah, that's the thing I don't get. Anybody who works, if you work for tips or commissions, either one, and I don't know, maybe Jaime's haberdashery, maybe they all work for commissions. So, of course, they were lickety-split, like, on the spot, ready to help. I don't know. But you're right. It is about upbringing. You can't learn manners. Well, you can. It's a lot harder to learn manners when you're in your 30s than it is when you're a child.
Exactly. And it sticks with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, once you learn them, they stick with you.
Well, to this day, I'm 61 now. And, I mean, if I'm talking to customer service on the phone, or anybody, I mean, I can't stop it. I will call them, yes, ma'am, you know, I just still, you know. And I believe if the people, like you're going, I mean, if the people offer that decency, then I believe it the people that they're helping, it helps them too, like you're saying. You know, you hadn't seen it in a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time. But I even toward the end of my food and beverage career, I remember trying to teach staff, you know, like wait staff. You try to teach them the value of service, and they're like, I just want to get them out of here, get my tip, and get another table. And like, but why? You know, even a crappy tipper tips based off of a percentage. Let's say it's 10%, because that's considered a bad tip nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it a lot easier to sell that person a cup of coffee or a cordial and a slice of pie, a cake or dessert of some kind? Add $10 to your bill, get another dollar in your tip, than it is to clean off the table, reset it, and hope you get another table. You know, yeah, it helps the business because you sold more stuff. But it helps you as the server because you're going to be paid based on that bill. And
exactly. And at the same time, you know, and I used to be a bartender by trade, so I understand that, you know, I understand that side of it. And, but it also, you get the return customers. So it's a win-win for everyone.
But I was dealing with kids that I felt like I needed to hit them in the head with a rubber mallet a few times before they understood that. Like, I tried to teach them how to sell. And there's, a proven sales technique called the hook, line, and sinker, or suggest, inform, and endorse, depending on what company you're with. But it's all the same thing. And there's this basic format of how to sell something tableside in just a few words. And I tried to teach this to my staff when I left the big companies and I started working for smaller companies again. And they're like, why would I do that? I'm like, okay, let's see. All right, give you an example. So the last restaurant I worked in, that hotel I was talking about earlier, I'm the food and beverage director of this hotel. We have beef short ribs on the menu. It's the most expensive thing on the menu. Every night I worked the podium, I greeted guests, I was the maitre d'. Every night I was there, I used that hook, line, and sinker format to tell them about the short ribs as I was walking the guests to the table. Every night I worked that podium, we sold out of short ribs. Mm-hmm. Any night I wasn't working the podium for some reason, we had short ribs left at the end of the night. Okay, so I can sell short ribs. But to the wait staff, that's the most expensive entree on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
Every dollar you add to your bill is a dime to a quarter more you're going to put in your pocket. Mm-hmm. So if you can sell three more, let's say you get a couple, two people come to your table and they sit down and you don't suggest crap to them and they both ask for a glass of water to drink and they both get the cheapest thing on the menu versus you suggest a bottle of wine because it's the wine that you love and you can describe it well, and you sell them both beef short ribs, which is the most expensive thing on the menu. What's your tip look like? Comparatively.
I try
to teach my staff that a menu in the hands of a guest for more than a minute is the most dangerous thing you can do to your own personal wallet because people immediately start price shopping. You need to get to them before they look at the prices. You need to sell them on something that's fabulous before they realize what they want to spend for the evening.
Well, I think a lot of it, too, has to do with the mindset. I don't think everyone is cut out, to as far as the food, liquor business, hotel business, stuff like that. I don't think everybody's just cut out for that job, but the same principle should apply in any job you work at.
Yeah, any service-connected job at all. Any job where you're dealing with customers.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the same skill set.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and you're right, not everybody can do it.
Yeah, I believe it goes back to how you raise the child. I just firmly believe that. And nowadays, people are just in for the paycheck. They're not in to satisfy themselves. I mean, that was the biggest part. I worked in warehouses too, and it was like, dang, I banked today, I busted my butt, But it's also a good feeling for the worker, and I think we've lost that part, too. People just want a paycheck. It's sad.
Yep.
But I see a lot of people around me, truly, some of the younger generation, well, my son's age, and they have children, and, I see a change. I definitely see a change where I'm at. How they're raising their kids and stuff.
Yeah. Well, Curtis over in the YouTube chat room says that the lack of empathy is killing service. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that lack of empathy goes right back to what you were saying, Misty. It goes back to the upbringing, the raising of people.
Exactly. I mean, I don't understand that comment, lack of empathy. I don't understand that.
You can't put yourself in somebody else's shoes. You don't. Well, if you're a server with no empathy, you don't think about what it's like when you're out to eat. You only think about what it's like when you're the server.
I guess, but I based my career on, like I say, on just giving the customer the respect that the customer is due. Now, when I do admit, if I go, and I'm on the flip side now, and I don't get that same service, it's disappointing. It truly is.
Yeah.
And you can't necessarily go, what I'm saying? You just suck it up, Buttercup, and then I would definitely say no to that server. Get me somebody else.
Yeah. All right, Misty, I have to let you go because I got another call coming behind you, and I don't want to run out of time.
Okay, great.
Thank you very much for your call. Always appreciate it. Deb Treadway over in the YouTube chat room says, I own my own cleaning business, and I had a long-lasting customer who referred me for 16 years. They trusted me, and it was customer service-oriented. It usually is. You know, I've had chefs in my life over the years that said, you know, that the best meal will not save poor service, but poor service will ruin the best meal. Only works one way. Anyway, I want to tell you about the wellness company, TWC.health. Use code Lighthouse when you visit TWC.health so that you can find yourself some not woke doctors and not woke pharmacists and not woke pharmacies. Find out how to get off the medications that you're on safely from doctors that aren't, well, let's say paid for by Big Pharma. Find doctors who actually care about what you want from your health care at TWC.health. And use code Lighthouse when you're there. I'd greatly appreciate it. Tom in Utah is on line 3. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Hi. In my past, I've been an advisor to the film industry. It's pretty heavy, like Kirk Douglas, Olivia de Havilland. They always ask me, well, how do you do it when you're on the road? I said, you might have to make a little bit of a white lie. You pull into any roadhouse or any restaurant or facility, and you might have to just say, I've heard that you're really a fine chef or you run a really fine restaurant. I have some specific help needs. I'm wondering if you could prepare something for me. And they will bend over backwards. As soon as you say, I've heard that you have a reputation of being a very fine chef or manager. And so, you know, this courtesy works That's both true. Ways.
I would agree with that. You know, if you compliment somebody, you know, generally speaking, it lowers their guard a little bit and they become more favorable to you.
They'll bend over backwards to make you happy because they know if they make you happy, you have a mouth and you are, quote, the unpaid, advertisement.
Yeah. Word of mouth is the best advertising. Absolutely. So but word of mouth can also kill a business pretty.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to stop and have French fries from you, okay? You ready?
Well, I don't run that business anymore.
It really pays off to be courteous both ways. Because
I agree. Absolutely.
And they're happy, you're happy.
Yeah, the golden rule, do unto others.
Anyway, people were in awe that I could travel back and forth across the United States or even up into Canada and never have a problem eating even at the Outback or the steakhouse. How do you be a completely strict vegan or vegetarian if you're at the Outback? Well, the chef will do everything in his power to make things right if you simply start with the right spirit with him. We do need to have empathy. That is where we are failing.
Yeah. And that empathy also goes to the, you know, I bet that if you showed up at the Outback in the middle of rush hour and said, I'd like to talk to the chef because I need to find something I can eat, that's probably not going to work out well for you. But like if you call at, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon when restaurants aren't generally busy and say, hey, I'm going to be in later tonight, and I'm a vegan. They're far more willing to help you out then.
Yeah, see, I've done that, and it really does pay off, and you never have to be without. And, in fact, I was just thinking about the Olive Garden, for example. I call them and say, I'd like to come and have a nice meal with your facility. But I do have some issues with certain food items. they said, okay, what do we need to do to help you? And I said, okay, this is what you do. And then, of course, I also let them know that I've been an advisor to some pretty heavies like, you know, Kirk Douglas or Lizzy De Havilland or even William Shatner, of all people. And they say, well, cool. We need some good advertisement.
Right. Get one of those people to say something about your restaurant. That's fantastic advertising right there. Well, Tom, thank you very much for your call. Always appreciate it.
Empathy works.
I agree. Curtis over in the YouTube chat room says, I had a customer with Tourette's. He would only buy from me because I made him feel comfortable. And that's what it's about. And I bet that customer with Tourette's who would only buy from you also probably recommended Jim more than once. And John, also in the YouTube chat room, apparently all of our chat messages tonight are coming from YouTube. Oh, that's right. I'm not broadcasting on Facebook. Don't know if you touched on this yet or not, but automatic gratuity has ruined service. Ooh, I haven't touched on that yet. He goes on to say, spent this past Sunday having a terrible experience at the Olive Garden and still got stuck with an 18% gratuity. You know, that's a good point. A lot of these restaurants, especially the chain restaurants, they have an automatic gratuity, and it usually is 18% if you have a party of, let's say, eight or more. Why? Like seriously, the word gratuity comes from the French, I don't know. Anyway, it comes from a French term that meant for a drink. And the idea was that if you gave service that went above and beyond, then your customer would leave you enough money to buy a drink after your shift. It was like, hey, let me buy you a beer kind of thing. But for some reason, in this country, we've decided that the service industry gets paid, you know, $2.85 an hour or whatever the number is. I don't know what it is now. That's what it was when I left the industry. And we stick automatic gratuities on it every chance we get. Well, that's not a gratuity. If it's not for a drink, if it's not your customer giving you something because you did a fantastic job, then it's compulsory. And that's not the point. Let's see here. YouTube chat room again. Peter, some of these restaurants where I live, you go to a kiosk and pay for your food ahead of time, and they still want you to add a gratuity. Damn, Skippy. I can't believe, like, I love coffee. And I go, anytime I see a barista anywhere in the country, I will try their coffee. And right here in my little town, there are three little fancy coffee shops, and I love all three of them. But I think, let me think here. Yeah, yep, all three of them use a point of sale system that if you pay with a card, the screen is automatically going to ask you for a gratuity. Now, I'm ordering at a counter, and I'm buying a coffee. Maybe it's an espresso or an Americano or a latte or, you know, whatever. But basically, I'm buying something that requires you to do your job. I'm not asking you to perform any extra special service of any kind. Why should I be expected to tip you? I don't know why that has become everywhere. Maybe it's time that the United States go adopt the European model and pay service industry employees a wage and stop expecting a tip. And when you get a tip, it's because you did something fantastic instead of, oh, you did your job. I don't know. This conversation kind of took a dark path, didn't it? It started with me thinking, hey, I got fan-freaking-tastic service at Jaime's Haberdashery in Minneapolis. And why, you know, what happened to customer service? And hey, if we bring customer service back, will it help to heal humanity in our country? And somehow we got on to complaining about service and automatic gratuities and gratuities on, well, non-service things. I don't know. Like I said at the beginning, I don't know if bringing customer service back in all of the service industries, I don't know if that would bring humanity and empathy back into our society, but it sure wouldn't hurt. And if you're a business owner, you have to know word of mouth is the best possible advertising. And that customer service, well, it really doesn't cost you anything. And I got customer service, great customer service once, and I just spent an hour talking about it on the radio to, I don't know, what, 2,000 people? How many of you are listening? I think that's worth doing. If you're a business owner, you should check it out. Coming back on the other side of the break, Daryl Becker, contactsafe.co. We'll be back in 3 minutes, my friends.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.